This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome to your local Kerikeriroa podcast, What Is Your Why? Whenever you are listening to this, I hope you are having an absolutely beautiful day today. This podcast is run by the YWCA Hamilton, an organisation dedicated to empowering, inspiring and elevating women to achieve success in whatever ways that looks like to her. Hello and welcome to today's podcast. Today with me in the studio I have Jamie, and as always I'll pass it straight over to you to introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Jeannie Holland. I work as an administrator for Shama Ethnic Women's Trust, and I volunteer for various charities. In my spare time, I like to get into creative crafts like crochet, spinning yarn, or doing anything new that's just trying it out.
Oh, amazing. How long have you been in Hamilton for?
I've been in Hamilton for about 27 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Definitely a home.
Mm-hmm, a local. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And what's your favourite thing about Hamilton?
My favourite thing about Hamilton is it's people and kind of like when you have been in Hamilton for a while, you kind of like, if you're going out, you just tend to run into people you know and just like in passing. And yeah, that's quite lovely.
Absolutely. I've only been here 5 years, but I still run into people. So I can imagine after 27 years, everywhere you'd know people.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. And so I'm going to keep asking you some quick fire questions to get to know you more.
Yeah.
So question number one is, what is your favourite food?
My favourite food is curry, any kind of curry.
Oh, homemade or from a store?
Probably from a store, because we're not Indians and I like to get authentic made.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to recreate those like authentic flavours.
Yeah.
Ooh, what curry? Do you have like a favourite one?
Not really. I would try to get something that's quite special or something a bit innovative. Yeah, like maybe korma or vindaloo, but adventurous.
Yum. Okay. Yeah. Very nice. Quick fire question number two is, what does your ideal Saturday look like?
So we would do a grocery shop in the morning, and I would do some of my hobbies in the afternoon, like crocheting or sewing, learning to sew, or in the evening we will watch a movie. Mm. Yeah.
When you say we, who do you mean? Is it your
family? Me and my husband. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. How long have you been married for?
Since last April, so it's coming up a year soon.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
I'm getting married this year, so
lovely.
I get very excited when I hear about new weddings.
And the wedding planning. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Last quick fire question is, what is one product you cannot live without?
My phone. Yeah. My phone's not an expensive, fancy phone, but it does everything I need it to do. Yeah.
So is it more for like communications?
Mm-hmm. Communication, like keeping in touch with family and friends. Yeah,
absolutely. It's definitely, I've realized this year how important it is to keep in touch with everyone. So
Keep connected.
Well, thank you for telling us all about yourself and that we can get to know you a bit more.
Yeah.
So today we're always going to chat about like what you're passionate about and like what your why is in life. So I think we should start off with, what is the thing that you're the most passionate about?
I think it's to serve people, to be helpful. And yeah, I do a lot of volunteering work besides my work with Shama. And it's a lot to do with community engagement and helping people where they might have some similarities to you, but they are very different to the rest of like what we think as average New Zealanders. And I help with people in the ethnic community. So yeah.
What are some things that you do to help?
So we have life skill programs at work and community development scheme for example, there's a superhero workshop for ethnic women, and for monthly, they would come together with a facilitator, and the facilitator would teach you strategies about how to improve your confidence and be more out there and be brave and take on new challenges. So that's some sort of work that we do.
And so do you teach those things, or are you on the...
I don't teach those things. I just administer those. So I take in referrals for work, and then they may sign up to an event, and so I help with like the administration part of it. I don't actually facilitate the workshops, but it's very interesting. It's exciting to be involved in that kind of work.
Do you get to go along to them?
Yes, I do participate in those.
That's very cool. It sounds like an amazing
It's like helping someone who have a similarity to me, or who also is migrant in New Zealand, or someone who used to be a former refugee. And there's some similarities there, but it's so diverse, the groups of people that come. Yeah, wow.
Do you find it hard when there are people that have similar experiences to you to get past, like, the kind of emotion that you have about it, or does that power you to help them more?
I think it powers me, and it makes me aware of their struggles and their challenges when they're settling in Hamilton, New Zealand, and the challenges that you will face, like immigration problems or housing problems, or and all that that they need help for, and then we can provide the service for them, and to just be a social service agency, and to like refer them onto other agencies or help them in some way, and to make them feel connected instead of isolated in here.
Absolutely. And I definitely think it's something that's hard to comprehend if you haven't been like new to Hamilton, or you haven't had to move countries. It's something that you can only really know about when you experience it. So
yeah,
it's cool that you can use your experience to help others.
A lot of these experiences are positive as well, because like making friends, forming connections, finding a job, or settling in and becoming a New Zealander, or getting citizenship, and really becoming one of us.
Do you get to follow people through the journey and see them get all their ceremonies?
Citizenship ceremony. We see people for years and years, and like in passing, and they get in the community and they become like, they get involved and be part of the community as well, and that coming together is like it happens often, but I don't think I've followed one particular person throughout their journey. But I see several people in the community who have started working for example like a government agency, and they are like helping and becoming stakeholders in our work, and they're really important, and we build relationship with these people, and they've come into New Zealand first, they didn't know anything about the community, and they get into it, and they are enthusiastic, and they get involved and help out, and really good.
Oh, that's so rewarding also to see that. And so even if you don't follow them necessarily, you still get updates, which is nice to see that there are success stories out there.
Yes, yeah.
Amazing. And so your work at the National Council of Women in New Zealand, does that quite closely link into your work at Sharma?
It's they have their meetings, their monthly meetings at Sharma's office, and we have representation as like a voice in the when there's policy making for the Hamilton branch is participating in that National Council of Women. At the start, National Council of Women was started because of like the suffrage movement, and Sharma's work is related to influencing policy and being like becoming like getting a voice into the stakeholders. So I suppose it's related, and we're just like helping them, providing a resource, like a meeting place for the National Council of Women. I'm not sure if it's totally related, but
There are some crossovers.
Crossovers for women's gender equal rights, and
cool. So what is your role at the National Council of Women in Hamilton?
I take notes during the meetings, so I'm a note taker. It's voluntarily. I also volunteer for several other charities, so for like web design for ROC, Refugee Orientation Center Trust, and involved as secretary for Hamilton Combined Community Trust, and I'm a committee member at Waikato Multicultural Council. So those are some of the things that I'm involved in. Like I help out at events, and we participate in community programs and that sort of thing.
Wow, you're involved in so many. And how did you get involved in all of them? Do they lead to one another, or is it like just different opportunities that you took?
Someone contacted me and asked me if I wanted to be involved in volunteering for Sharma at the start, and then I started volunteering regularly for Sharma, and then I got a job, a paid role with them eventually, and then from there, the people at work had encouraged me to get involved in the community to build a network. And then I got involved in the different charities through volunteering, and I just look for roles every so often with volunteering Waikato. So I go on their website and I put myself through the application process for becoming a volunteer from time to time. And I regularly volunteer on my day off. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. So yeah. That's just so cool. I love that you are able to do so many different things and mm-hmm. it doesn't overwhelm you. Well, it doesn't come across as it overwhelms.
At times it does overwhelm me. Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah. But like you speak so positively over it, which is so nice to see. And you make so many different like little areas that you've got that you can just pour into, which is really cool to see.
Yeah.
What would you say if that money was not an option, and there was like no limits on resources, what is something you would do for all of those organizations that you work for or volunteer for?
I would just volunteer as a volunteer person, for my passion projects. I would volunteer at nonprofits full time if I could. But it's great to also know that. That the world needs, that has a need for the work, and that one can be paid for it as well, to get something back as well. But giving back to the community is the main thing for me, I think.
And time is one of the most valuable resources.
Spending time, yeah.
Yeah, wow. If only there were more hours where you could help and do things like that. Wow. Yeah. With all these things that you're passionate about and all these things that you do, what would you say is your why in life?
My why in life would be to find meaning in helping people, and to serve, and to feel rewarded when serving. That's one of the things.
Do you think your why has changed over your few years?
Yes. So in my 20s, I was going to uni, getting educated, and I didn't really know what to study, so I studied engineering. And I thought that was like I can get a steady job and it will be stable. And then I found out that I wasn't very good at, I didn't really have much aptitude for engineering. And so I was kind of having short jobs from here to there in the industry. And then somebody asked me to volunteer for an organization. And then I started volunteering. And then I found out that there was an opportunity coming up that I could be paid for the work that I was doing. And so that really, like, the development of that really helped me. So my why has changed from just getting a professional job and just to go through life, making a profit or being commercial about it, to giving back to the community in a way that is meaningful for the nonprofits that I volunteer and work for. And instead of just thinking about making a profit. And
That is so relatable. I think that is, so many of us now are choosing careers based on like the money we can get, because that gets us like the phones we want or the lifestyles we want. And I think it's so scary to be able to go, no, I'm going to put away the guaranteed income and go do something that I'm passionate about and something that I feel like would be good to do for like the community as well.
Yeah, and I'm lucky that I have a family and that they support me if I don't make a lot of money, but it's important that I feel needed in the organizations that I work for and helping people, and so that's really important. It's not about the money.
No. Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting. So you don't have any regrets from going from the stable income to the like more community work?
I think doing the community work that I do now, I do have a stable income. So it is meeting that requirement. And yeah, before I may have chosen something that I was ultimately not so interested in. Yeah, and I wouldn't have been so successful. But now that I'm doing the work that I really feel passionate about, I can really feel like striving. I can be flourishing.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. I love that. That's so cool to hear. And I think it just changes so much in your life because you're so much more passionate about things. You're like, when you go home, you're more happy because you're doing the work you love.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so cool, the ripple effect of following your passion and going, leaving the what society expects you to do behind and doing what you want to do. That's really cool.
Yeah.
If you could give yourself advice when you'd started university, what would it be?
Spend time working out what you really want without the expectations of other people.
I can understand that one. Continuing on that kind of thread, tell me about what life was like for you as a young woman. What were your experiences like?
I attended Hamilton Girls High School in the late 90s and early 2000s, and at the start, I was a high achiever. I was getting junior ducks, and then as the years went on, it started being like what was the equivalent of NCEA, and like it was called school certificate. And that year, I had like a burnout, like a mentally ill period of time where I had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and it was like a time of turmoil, and I was very unwell. And dealing with stress and not managing it very well. And at the start, I was not aware of what it was. And then I had to get diagnosed, seek treatment, and spend a few years in and out of hospital, and then being well for a short period of time, and then relapse into like unwellness. So I have gained some insight throughout my early 20s and the late 20s to the condition that I have, bipolar disorder, and it's been a lot of ups and downs, and yeah, a lot of symptoms, dealing with symptoms, and then managing it with medication and therapy and treatment, and yeah, had a lot of crises, and I learned a lot from it.
Wow. So this was in your high school years?
It started? Yes. Yeah, when I was a young woman.
Yeah. How long did you still go to school during this time?
I went to school, and then I was hospitalized. Wow. So I was absent for a while during the year 11. And then I went back to school to complete my examinations. And then I continued with the schooling and then university and then up to master's degree. So it's possible to come back and to like to survive it and to bounce back. It just takes a lot of effort on the person's part, and also on their family and the people around them and their friends. And I just like to bring awareness to people getting challenges and having like mental health challenges, and then to staying well and to
absolutely. And I think that's so important to share those encouraging words and stories, mm-hmm. because when you're in that, you just, there's no way out, and just you can't like see the positive. And so hearing that you mm-hmm. still managed to get your master's and all after all of that is so mm-hmm. incredible. That's really inspiring.
And part of me being involved in the community is to give back to the times when people were helping me, and that being a migrant is a very stressful experience, and it brings a lot of like possibility of trauma and like a lot of risk and challenges and barriers that you will face. And I think one of the reasons why I had developed these conditions is not just genetic and the upbringing, but also like the migrant experience. And it's not something that's all bad. It's something that's also made me a very creative person, and allowed me to have opportunities in work and in life. And I think it's really important to celebrate that instead of instead of bury it.
Absolutely. Mm. What would you say was the most important thing to help you get through that time in your life?
I think my mother. She was always supporting me at the start when we didn't know what was going on, and she went with me to all the appointments, and she was managing my medication at the start, and I learned to manage it myself. And I think she's always been my strongest supporter.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so special. It's really nice when you have that support of people around you mm-hmm. that really can carry you through. I think that's so important. So I'd love to ask you about your experience as a migrant. Mm-hmm. So how young were you when that...
I was 10 years old when we arrived in New Zealand, and we had been thinking about moving for about a couple of years before that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. And so your whole family came over?
My parents and my sister and I came over, yes.
Mm. Oh, cool. And then you settled straight into to Hamilton?
Yeah, we decided on Hamilton because when we applied for going to Auckland, and there was like the choice of Christchurch or Wellington as well. But when we arrived in Auckland, the living costs were really high. So we decided on a smaller city, a town in Hamilton. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Cool. And so you say mostly positive experience. What was like the best part about moving here?
I think when you arrive in New Zealand as a young person, like about 10 years old, suddenly the schools are like less stressful, because in Asian countries, the schools are very much structured and very challenging and a lot of tests and examinations. But when you get to New Zealand at that time, they did assessments, but they didn't. It didn't matter if you did badly or good, or the education, the way education system works in New Zealand is like they play to your strengths, and then they are very encouraging, and they often said, "Oh, fantastic, excellent," and the teachers were always very encouraging, and this was different. This was a different attitude to the way we experience education.
Absolutely. I think there's. My family's from South Africa, and my cousins are often learning things ahead of me, but they're younger than me, and I can never understand it. But it's very a positive environment, usually, for teachers. Oh, that's cool, though. And what would you say was, like, the worst thing that was happening when you arrived?
I think the worst thing, a part of it was not having a network. So we arrived, and then we didn't know anyone, so we would sometimes not know of the services that we could access, or the community wasn't formed at that time, so we just didn't tap into the resources that were available in the community, or have friends yet. And then we made friends later.
Did you know anyone in New Zealand before you moved here?
My father had a friend who was based in Hamilton, so he was persuaded to come to Hamilton and settle instead.
And
they're still friends today.
Oh, that's cool. And have you been back home to visit since you moved?
Only occasionally. So through my education years, I didn't go back. And then after I started working, I went back once, I think. About 2 or 3 years ago before the pandemic.
Wow. And was it quite different to what you remembered?
Yes, it was very different because I came from a small town, and then I ended up traveling back to a metropolitan city. And there was a lot of technological changes, and and older people had grown up.
And had it quite expanded probably as well. And
it has, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I think it's interesting going back and seeing how different it is to your, like, 10-year-old memory to now your adult memory. What would you say was the, like, best season in your life up until now?
I think the best season is the time after I met my now husband. I put my life together. I got my life together, and then got a job, and have a regular job for a few years, and then met someone, and that falling in love and being in a relationship and building a new family is the best season of my life so far. And it's still, that season is continuing on now.
Oh, that's very exciting. Why is that the best season?
I think I knew what I wanted at the start of the season. That was good. And then I set goals, and then I went to work on the goals, and I didn't rely on other people's expectations anymore. I didn't say, oh, I should be doing this, or I should, oh, shoulda, woulda, coulda. I just went ahead and did the work, and then got the rewards, and then it's still work in progress. But now's the season.
There's so much power when you drop the expectations of other people. It's so difficult to do, but it's so great when you can do that. Absolutely. You mentioned goals and working towards them. How do you usually set goals?
I set goals by having, at the start of the year, I would have a vision board, and so that would have like 9 different areas, like family or work or side hustle or something like that. And then we had 9 areas, and I would set goals in each of them, and then have a representative image on the vision board. And then I would refer back to the vision board at times, and then see if I'm achieving those goals, and reflect on how I could have strategies to meet these goals and achieve it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So are you a visual person? Is that why you have it on a vision board?
I think I'm more of a words person, but I planned the vision board because somebody had facilitated a workshop that taught me how to make a vision board. But it's actually the specific goals that I write down that are the framework. Yeah.
That's cool. And do you find that you stick to those goals, like, when you've written them like that?
I do. And I have, strangely enough, it has been, a lot of the goals have been achieved. And there were, because they are 9 areas, some of the areas were not fleshed out. And I found that the areas that were not fleshed out failed. And the ones that I really fleshed out and I could visualize would be really successful.
Mm, yeah, you're almost more committed to it because you could see it.
And yeah, it's like a manifestation, but I'm not sure if it's not magical. It's like you put in the effort. So, yeah.
Very cool. Mm. My final question for you is, what is your motto for life? Or like a word that you would use to like put over your life, and you're like, this is what I stand for, this is what I do.
I would have a sentence, but I can make it into one word.
Mm-hmm.
I would be a creative change maker. Ooh. But I think the one word is change.
Change.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit for me?
I like being creative, and it's not just like, you could be designing a poster or something for work, or could be doing something, some projects that require a lot of coordination, but like being creative is really, is what makes me get out of bed in the morning. And so that's and change something is, changing something for the better is really important to me.
Yeah,
you're passionate about it. Being innovative about it, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom and all your experiences. It's been amazing to hear what you thought the best of the time of your life was and how all those experiences have made you to be who you are today. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you want to connect with us, please feel free to check us out on Insta, YWCA Hamilton NZ, or on Facebook, YWCA of Hamilton. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. Until next time, take care of yourself and always remember your why.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.